Father, we give you the praise and we give you the honor. All we can say is receive the praise, receive the honor, receive the glory. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for the privilege of service. Thank you for the privilege of partnering with you to achieve your purpose in the earth. Be glorified, be honored, and be adored in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you'll bless this service this morning. The revivals and the things we expressed in the Philippines, we ask that it will overflow on the church this morning. And everyone connected online this morning, let not one person be the same. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Like you know, we just returned from the Philippines and had very, very massive and exciting experience with God in that place. We'll be taking you on the journey of the Philippines very, very shortly. And then we'll trust God for what God did there to overflow to us. John chapter 15 and in verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The Lord bless you, bless his word in Jesus' name. This morning, I'm speaking on the act of discipleship. That is winning souls and establishing them. If you want, you can put that in bracket. If you want, you can put that as a dash. The act of discipleship. This is the kind of teachings and instructions that brought some of us up in the late 70s and 80s. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. Our objective is threefold. I'm not sure that we can finish all the teaching this morning, but we are going to try. Objective number one is understanding the necessity of discipleship. Number two is understanding practical actions for effective discipleship. Again, like I said, I'm not sure we are even going to be able to reach up to the number two this morning, but we'll try. Understanding the necessity of discipleship, understanding practical actions for effective discipleship. Number three, understanding the dividends of the discipleship. When I operate and follow this and operate discipleship, what dividends should I expect? There are two things I would like us to note by way of introduction. Number one, the call of the child of God is not just the winning of souls, but winning souls and ensuring that they abide. The call of the child of God. Now, the basic thing is that we are all called to win souls. But the call of the child of God is not just the winning of souls, but winning souls and ensuring that they abide. That was what we saw in John chapter 15 and in verse 16. Winning souls and ensuring that they abide. Secondly, winning souls without establishing them is stopping short of God's plan for the lost. Winning souls without establishing them is stopping short of God's plan for the lost. God's plan for the lost. God has a plan for the lost, for lost souls. When we win them and we don't establish them, we are stopping short. That is, winning souls without establishing them is starting the journey without finishing it. We started the journey. He said that we should win souls and that the souls should abide. He's starting the journey without finishing the journey. Question is, why is it necessary to establish souls? Why is it necessary? What is the necessity of discipleship? Number one, new converts are spiritual newborn babies that require extra care and attention. New converts are spiritual newborn babies. I like the counseling department to take a very, very extra note of all the things I'll teach in this regard this morning. The home church, take extra note of the things I will speak about this morning. The heads of all departments, because when people pass through the discipleship membership class, they are sent to the departments. Part of the reason why they are sent to the departments is for further discipleship. I like the heads of departments to hear this. When they finish the membership class, they are sent to departments as probationary members. Not just for departmental work, but for further discipleship. And every member of the church also understands that new converts are spiritual newborn babies that require extra care and attention. The Bible said that in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, it said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. They are spiritual newborn babies that require extra care and attention. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 7, Paul the apostle speaking in Philippians 1 7 said, even as it is meet of me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Verse 6. Can you jump to verse 8? I think I missed. Alright, that's verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Christ. I am longing, I am yearning after you as my children, the way a mother yearns after the children. How many of you know that newborn babies, if you go to where newborn babies are born in the hospital, there is such extra care. And if you go to where they call the special care baby unit, the SCBU, and all of that, you pull your shoes. You have to go very, very carefully. Why? Because they are so new, they are susceptible. Very, very susceptible to infections and can easily be challenged by what adults will handle. Now, you know of the childhood diseases that they are vaccinated against, the polio, the cholera, the measles, and what all the childhood things that they are vaccinated against, because they are susceptible. And as it is, all truths are parallel. As it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. Every Christian and every child of God must understand that once a person is a new convert, they require extra care extra attention, extra love. Number two, why is it necessary? Number two, new converts need to be detached from old habits and lifestyles. That is why it is necessary for them to be followed up. They need to be detached from old habits and lifestyles. Some of them are victims of different addictions. Alcoholic addictions, tobacco addictions, pornographic addictions. So they need to be discipled and followed up in order for them to be detached. Answering the altar call is not enough. Repeating the sinner's prayer is not enough. Isaiah chapter 52 and in verse 11. He said, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. They need. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Look at what God said concerning the new convert. He said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The fact that they answer the altar call does not automatically mean that they have stopped smoking or stopped drinking. They need to be discipled to ensure that those things stop. You remember the funny testimony of the soldier man the other day, where he's coming to church, he has given his life to Christ, but he was still smoking alcohol and smoking cigarette and Indian hemp. And in the course of the fasting, he said when he got back home, he wanted to smoke, but since he just took the communion, he was respecting the communion. You remember that funny testimony? And he didn't want to put the cigarette inside the communion mouth. So he gave it 1 hour or 2 hours. Let the communion settle first before he smokes on top. You understand what I'm talking about? Before God can. And he was very, very sincere in the testimony. But these are the things that they still battle with. And it must be broken. That is why they must be discipled. They need to be detached from old habits and lifestyles. Number three, new converts need to be shielded from persecutions and rejections that come with their newfound faith. They need to be shielded from persecutions and rejections. With a change of life and faith in God, at times come persecutions. Old friends that get angry and begin to make life miserable for them. Colleagues in the office that become angry. Boss in the office. And where there is a change of religion, where now there's just terrible persecution. In Romans chapter 8 verse 35 and verse 37. Romans 8, 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Verse 37 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. He said, they that will live godly will suffer persecution. Yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That is, we expect to be resisted, to be confronted. We respect to be attacked because of our faith. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 to verse 30. Look at what Jesus said. He said, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and for the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, he will receive houses, he will receive brethren, he will receive sisters. That is, you will see people that are new brothers, new sisters in the Lord, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions. Alright? Good things will happen to you. And in the world to come, eternal life. So, when the people get saved, and we just leave them, they don't have anybody to tell what they are facing in the office, or facing in their family, or sometimes facing from their, even some facing things from their wives, or their husbands, because of their faith. Then some slid back. If that is how it is and nobody cares, let me go back to the world. So they need to be shielded. They need to be followed up and assisted to go through that journey when they are confronted. That was number three. Is that right? Number four. New converts need to be discipled to avoid them. I want to use the medical word now. To avoid them being inoculated or hardened to the gospel. To avoid them being inoculated or hardened to the gospel. And I'll tell you what that means. When we preach to people and we say, give your life to Christ, and we say, repeat this prayer after me, and they repeat the sinner's prayer after us, and we don't follow them up again, and then they become lukewarm or they slid back into the world, next time another person meets them, give your life to Christ, say okay, they are not followed up and they slid back, another time another person, what we are doing is we are gradually vaccinating them. Now look at that polio vaccine works like that, right? Life attenuated virus. What happens is, in vaccination, the same virus that afflicts the person is the same virus they inject into the person in some of the vaccinations. Life vaccinations. Just that it is sublethal doses. Not the dose that can cause disease, but the dose that is big enough to generate antibodies in the system. So the virus is put into the system, antibodies are generated in the body against the real virus. So when the real virus arrives, there is already antibody against that virus generated by this other, the same virus that could not harm. So it now fights away the disease. Am I communicating? Is anybody learning some virology and immunology here this morning? Alright. So, when I preach to you substandard doses of the gospel, sublethal, not lethal enough to fight away your sins or to establish you in God, and I have preached to you, and you say, okay, give your life to Christ. But you are not established. You are not living for God. When someone else comes with the gospel later, you say, I have already changed. I have prayed the sinner's prayer before. Will you give your life to Christ? How many of you will give your life to Christ? He won't raise his hand. He say, I have raised my hand before. I have prayed the sinner's prayer before. I have answered altar call before. He has been vaccinated. He has been inoculated. He has been hardened. Hardened against the gospel. Not by his own doing. Consciously or unconsciously. He doesn't feel the need anymore. What they are saying I should do, I have done it before. So, evangelism without discipleship can become more dangerous than no evangelism. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's important. In the book of Hosea chapter 10 verse 12, he said, break up your fallow ground, the hardened ground. Sow to yourselves the righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rain righteousness. So the time comes, you break fallow grounds when a land has been farmed and all the nutrients have gone out of it and it does not yield result again. You break the ground. Mark chapter 4 verse 5 to 6. Look at what the Bible said. He said, and some fell on stony ground. These are the people where there is stony ground, where the hearts of the people become stony, and it has not much earth, and immediately sprang up because it has no depth of earth. But when the sun was scorched, was up, it was scorched, and because it has no root, it withered away. When we preach the gospel to people and we do not root them in the Lord, when the sun and the heat of life come, it just dries up everything and they return back. We need to follow up people. Home church, cell group, counseling department, heads of departments, departmental people. We follow the people up for the sake of ensuring that nobody gets hardened to the gospel. And nobody say, I have done it before, I don't need to do it again. Is somebody getting anything here today? Say amen. New converts need to be discipled to avoid them being inoculated or vaccinated. Number 5. New converts need to be followed up in order for them to be properly rooted in the faith. Properly rooted in the faith. They need to be properly rooted in the faith. Properly rooted in the faith. Isaiah chapter 27 verse 6. He said, he shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. There are so many Christians who pray the sinner's prayers, who gave their life to Christ, but they were never rooted. And there are two things I want to tell you. Do you need this Bible study this morning? Is it needed this morning? When people are not rooted, two results can be the outcome. Number one, when people have no root, they easily fall away. Luke 6:13. We read it. When people have no root in God, when they have no root in God, they easily fall away. We saw the version of that in Mark chapter 4 verse 6. They easily fall away because they have no root. They fall away. They are withered away when they have no root. Secondly, when people have no root, they can't bear fruit. There are so many Christians today who have never won a single soul in their lives. They just come to church and say, they don't have root, so they can't bear fruit. That was where we read in Psalm 27, I believe, verse 6. They shall take root downward. It's 27:6. It shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Many people never won a soul. They can't point to one person because they have never been rooted. But today, I see a new season coming on your way. Can I hear a louder amen? Can I hear a louder amen? And I prophesy to everyone here today, fresh grace and fresh help is coming your way in Jesus' precious name. So what have we said so far? Number one, concerning the necessity of discipleship, we say new converts are spiritual newborn babies that require extra care and attention. Number two, that new converts need to be detached from old habits and lifestyles, so we need to disciple them. Number three, that new converts need to be shielded from persecutions and rejections that come with their newfound faith. Number four, that new converts need to be discipled to avoid them being inoculated or hardened to the gospel. And number five, that new converts need to be followed up in order for them to be properly rooted in the faith. Now, what is discipleship? Quickly, number one, discipleship is assisting the new convert to follow Christ in the way. They have decided, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14 verse 6. It is assisting the new convert to follow Christ in the way. Mark chapter 10 verse 52. When blind Bartimaeus received his sight, the Bible said he followed Jesus in the way. It is assisting the new convert to follow Christ in the way. What is discipleship? Number two. It is assisting the new convert to be rooted, grounded, and established in the faith. Assisting the new convert to get to become rooted, grounded, and established in the faith. Colossians chapter 1 verse 23. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 23. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Assisting the new convert to get rooted, to get grounded, and to get established in the faith. Discipleship. Assisting them. And number three, discipleship is sharing our journey with God, with the new convert, to establish them in the Lord. Sharing our journey with the Lord, our journey of faith with the new convert, to establish them in the Lord. Just sharing, letting them know, we were once like this. This was how we tried our best, and this is where we are today. Sharing our journey. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 to verse 3. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 to verse 3. It said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Now move to verse 3. That which we have seen, that which we have heard, what we have experienced with the Lord, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This was who I was. This was the struggles I had. This was how God assisted me. I am not yet where I need. God wants me to be, but I'm on the journey. This is discipleship. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say the loud most amen. Can I take the journey a little bit further? What are the modalities for discipleship? How do we establish the people? Number one, this will be general for the two services. Pray fervently for the establishment of the new convert in the faith that Christ be formed in them. Pray fervently for the establishment of the new convert in the faith that Christ be formed in them. Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 19. Galatians 4 and in verse 19. It says, my little children, of whom I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. Mention the name of that new convert as in your prayer time. The people you are leading to Christ, the people we are saying we should bring, establish one a month. Mention them before God. Father, I pray for this one. I ask that you deliver them from the hold of sin. I ask that you cause them to be established in you. Number two, display love. Display genuine love and care. Okay. Liberally display genuine love and care for the welfare of the new convert. Display genuine love. Display genuine care. And this should be the responsibility of everybody. Genuine love, genuine care for the new convert. John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. John 13, 34 to 35. The Bible said, the new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. How many of you know I'm sure you have heard of community policing, right? Where the security responsibilities on the whole community. You see suspicious movement, report it. You see anything. Now, in the village, the raising up of a child is community responsibility. Am I communicating? The child does not need to be your child when you see him doing wrong thing to correct them. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you say, shake my hand, and the young boy brings his left hand. You say, oh no, that's not what we do. He say, take, and he brings his left hand. I say, don't do that. And he say, the elder say, come, take, and he's standing like standard man. You say, oh no, don't do that. You know, so that is how it is. In the same manner, in the body of Christ, the care of a new believer is the responsibility of everybody. That is why our love among ourselves must be liberal. When people come to church, whether they are new converts or newcomers, and all they see around is hostility, people struggling for seats, who do you think you are? Stand up, is my seat. And this person is coming to church for the first time. And you are quarreling the hell out of him. So bad. It's so terrible. So terrible. So, really? Is it all about cheer, not about love? We must be deliberate in the display of love and care. Number three. Embark on follow-up visits as much as feasible or possible. When I said follow-up visits, the qualification is as much as possible or feasible. All visits must not be physical. Thank God for phone calls today. In Proverbs 27 verse 23, the Bible says, be thou diligent to know the state of your flocks and look well to your herds. A phone call, a text message, where it is not feasible, just to find out, these were the things that were taught many years ago. These were the things that helped many of us. Follow up, raw follow up. I say we are feasible or possible because if you want to follow up a former sin partner, that can lead to something else. Regrettable thing. Or if you're a man and you want to follow up the opposite gender and vice versa, that can become challenging at times. Right? But a phone visit is possible. Let's meet in church. It's also possible. But this is very important. Embark on follow-up visits. Again, like I said, a phone visit is possible. Where possible or feasible. Number four. Ensure you get them filled with the Holy Spirit as soon as possible. You get them filled with the Holy Spirit as soon as possible. Philippians chapter 1, verse 13 to verse 14. Philippians 1, 13 to 14. It says, did I say Philippians? Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. He said, in whom you also trusted, after that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit seals them, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The first city we went to in the Philippines is called Pagadian. The mayor of the city was at the crusade. He declared the crusade open. The greatest miracle for that mayor, all right, before the greatest miracle, the mayor, when we landed at the airport, the cloud was thick, rain was dropping. By the time we stepped in, well, let me jump. By the time we arrived at the crusade, the mayor said his greatest miracle so far is that the cloud did not drop, because it was already trying to drizzle. Cloud was thick and heavy. He said, where will all these people go? That miracle touched him so much. He escorted us to the airport. City mayor took us to the VIP in the airport, where he was properly led to Christ and filled with the Holy Ghost right there. Spoke in tongues right there. You will see the clip shortly. That's him there and his wife. Hallelujah. Now, the point is, we do everything we can to hand over the people to the Holy Spirit. And we leave the Holy Spirit while we do our own to do the balance with them. Ensure you get them filled with the Holy Spirit as soon as possible. Number 5. Teach them the vital habits that strengthen the faith of a believer. There are habits that every believer must embark upon if their faith must be solidified. Teach them the vital habits that strengthen the faith of a believer. I will enumerate them. This will be A now. 5A, daily reading and study of the word. These are habits we teach them. Job 23 verse 12. He said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. We teach the new convert to value the word of God even more than their food. I grew up to know that I will not put food in my mouth until I have put word in my spirit. Daily reading and study of the word is a habit we teach them. They can start from the John's Gospels. They can start from Proverbs to look at habits of life. But daily reading. Number 2 is daily praying and communion with the Lord. We teach the new convert that they should not start the day without committing their day into the hands of the Lord. They should not retire at night without thanking God for his help in the day. They should not start the day without committing the day into the hands of the Lord. They should not retire at night until they have appreciated God for how the day went. Ephesians 6:18. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What habits? We teach them vital habits that strengthen their faith, and that includes daily study of the word, daily praying. Number 3, faithful commitment to the fellowship of the brethren. We teach the new convert and teach ourselves that we must be faithfully committed to the fellowship of the brethren. Psalm 84 verse 7. The Bible said, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before the Lord. We teach them to appear before the Lord for daily strength. We have come unto the Lord. We have come unto the Lord. We have come to the Father. We have come to renew strength. That we come to renew strength. That the broom is strong when it is inside the bunch of other brooms. Its strength and its usefulness is in unity with other broomsticks. When you pull out only one broomstick, its impact is almost useless. That's how we are. Faithful commitment. And then fourthly, the fourth habit is letting others know of their newfound faith. That is, they should not hide the fact that they have changed. No, I cannot go. I don't do that anymore. I don't do night clubbing anymore. Really? Yeah, I don't. I don't smoke anymore. I don't gossip people anymore. I don't behave like this anymore. They will let people know. These are habits that establish people. In John chapter 1, verse 40 to verse 42. John 1, 40 to 42. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finded his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Keep going now. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. He found Jesus. He didn't keep Jesus to himself. He told his brother. Sharing their faith and letting people know what has happened to them, it helps them not to compromise. It helps them not to misbehave. You know, like I said some time ago, that when after I rededicated my life to Christ in 1986, just 1 year after my rededication, I had a confrontation of my faith that shook my faith. Some terrible things happened. It was like the twin of wrong. I won't get into the detail. My journey, my pathway of life seemed arrested with another distraction of the loss of a life at that time, and so on. And I was so confronted that it weakened my faith, almost causing me to waver. And one of my friends who had known that I had given my life to Christ and holding a big Bible, he came to me and said, are we hearing that you are planning to backslide? Are we unbelievable? He has not changed though. Are we hearing that you are planning to backslide? Don't come. We don't need you back. We are the one to join you. The life you are living now, we are the one to join you. Don't join us back. It entered, you see, God can use the donkey to speak to you at times. It entered my head. It sparked my head. Say, really? Alright, I'm not joining you back. I'm not joining you back. Today, that guy is also a pastor. Maybe he gave his life to Christ. Maybe 10 years later. He was still an unbeliever. But he was telling me not to return because he knew. When I gave my life to Christ, rededicated my life, it was clear. All of them knew that this man, this is who he is. So it saves you. Please take your seat. When people get to know that this is your new life, your newfound faith, let others know. These are habits that strengthen the faith. Teach them vital habits that strengthen the faith of believers. And finally, number 6, ensure that you get them planted in the house of the Lord. Get them planted. It is not in your discipling them, getting them planted in the house is critical in two forms. First, through discipleship or membership training. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, the Bible said, he gave them apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers so that they can instruct these people in the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that they are not children tossed up and down. So we establish them through instruction. That is the aim of membership class. That's the aim of discipleship class. To establish and stabilize them. And number 2, we ensure you get them planted in the house through establishing them in the home church and the central church. The home church and central church. You see, in Acts chapter 2 verse 46, The Bible said, they knew and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. You don't let the person to be lost in the crowd, to just be coming to just Sunday. He must be found in a unit, the home cell to start with, and then later on a department where people can hold him accountable and look after him. This is very, very important. Beloved brothers and sisters, I'd like you to go through the things I taught this morning. To the best of my knowledge, I want to trust the Lord that we serve God, serve Him well, and do the things that will make for our fulfillment on the earth an eternity with God in heaven. I don't want us to be in a place where there is a mantle of revival, a mantle of evangelism, a mantle of global impact, and we are seated with no effect. One of the greatest excitement I will have is to go to the crusade field and return back home. A young man testified, sent me a message yesterday. He said to me, he said, thank you for showing us passion for God and passion for souls. He said, while you are on the crusade field, we are also doing evangelism around here. He said they went to secondary schools. He said they started since last year. And they are getting a lot of impact and touching a lot of lives. That is what this should be about. It's not about tourism. Those are the people that came with me from the crusade in the Philippines. I said, how many places did you go for sightseeing? Say, which time? Monday, commanding the day midnight prayer that we do here is 6 a.m. their time. 6 a.m. What you call midnight here is 6 a.m. there. Then after that is a morning session. Straight. So where is the sleep? The whole calendar is so distorted. The only sightseeing we went was homeless people that were living in the cemetery. That's the kind of sightseeing. We went there to minister for medical outreach, for welfare outreach. I don't want to get into that, so we don't dwell on anything that appears negative. They are a very loving people. Warm reception. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Please, I want this mantle to come upon us. Before this year is halfway, I want your own quiver to be overflowing with souls won. I want to trust God for the bursting of the seams in this house. I want to trust God to help us on the journey. What you have been taught this morning are tools to help make life easy for us. Lift up your hands and say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father, I come before you today. I make myself available to be an instrument for soul winning, for discipleship. Help me, Lord, with the mantle upon this commission, upon your servant, the passion, the drive. I receive the same to impact my world for the gospel. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Somebody say amen.